The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Of course, it's that time of the year where we really start to look back and reflect. A lot of businesses hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. We've seen the likes of Robinson's, Books Actually, and even a tour agency, STA Travel, closing down here in Singapore. Many entrepreneurs are scrambling to keep their businesses moving forward. And despite these conditions that we are in right now, there are businesses that have been weathering powerful storms over the years and come out stronger than ever. What is the key to their success, and how is it that some businesses tend to fare better than others? Let's try and get some insight from Bill Higgs, a former CEO of Mustang and Engineering, culture expert and author Forbes Books. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Elliot. Doing fine, thanks.
Well, I suppose it's evening for you because you're out in the United States.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about, you know, how 2020 is, it's like it's a year of learning, you know, because of all the inconvenience that we've had to go through. What would you say are some of the key learning points businesses have taken from dealing with this pandemic?
Well, I was in the oil patch, so we went through a number of huge economic downturns. And one of the things I think everybody found out that happens is the first thing to disappear is the silos that are normal in companies. When everybody sees the problem, the silos disappear, and it's more whole hands and let's get through this together. So I think most people saw the whole business world change, but actually become a bit more connected and more transparent throughout the organization just due to more communication.
You were CEO of Mustang Engineering. I mean, if you're still CEO during this current COVID patch, what would your message be to your company? How would you handle the current scenario that we're in?
As I said, we were in the oil patch, so we went from three people and $0 to a $1 billion company. And at the same time, we were teaching our young people about creating an intentional culture. And those people that we trained and taught took it to $8 billion 7 years after we left. So I think the key thing is that while everything's changing, it's a really good time. People are listening, and you can get intentional about your culture and what the type of company you want to be if you want to be better connected. And what we did in these downturns, the first thing everybody does is plug all the holes in the bucket so you're not losing money. We would always take notes on the things that we changed in a downturn, and then in the next upturn, we tried not to get fat and happy. So if you can get lean now and survive, if you can stay lean in the downturn, our bottom line was 4 times the industry average. You can just really knock it out of the park coming out.
I like how you brought up, you know, cutting expenses, plugging holes in the bucket. And when you talk about cutting expenses, the human reaction is, oh, that means I have to eliminate jobs. Is that really always the answer, eliminating jobs? Is that always the way to cut expenses? Surely there are more innovative methods.
Yeah, cutting jobs is the big, easy one. I think the easy one people are finding now is normally about 30% of overhead goes into office space. And I think people are seeing now that they're going to be able to reduce that office space and be able to hold on to more jobs. But we also found in downturns that some really good people become available. And so you actually need to be looking for who you should be hiring in a downturn so that you can come out with a more talented, stronger team at the end of it. Some good people will be available just because they didn't like how their management team handled the downturn. So there's some great opportunity, I think. We call it Operation Horse Thief. We're a horse company. So identify the horses in other companies and go get them when things are shook up a little bit.
I like the way you put that. And it brings to mind, and I think a lot of people can agree with it, sometimes you end up leaving a company in an upturn because you weathered a storm during the downturn and you saw the way they handled things. You don't really like it. But what would you say to those companies who reacted quickly and let go of staff? And now they're perhaps seeing a bit of an upturn and they're struggling to fill up positions. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think the best thing that we did is we worked on doing referral hiring from people that we had, because our good people had our DNA, so they had our culture. And so if we could get them to recommend a person, it was way better than interviews and reading resumes or going online. And those recommendations are how we got people that stayed 20 years. And so if you can reduce your turnover, like normal turnover is 35% in a company. We had less than 2% turnover because of how we hired. And that money goes to the bottom line. There's a number of studies. It can be like $45,000 a head of the people that you have to change out. So that goes to the bottom line, helps make the company stronger. But normally when those people are brought in that way, they already have a champion within the company that's going to help make them successful. So it just works out across the board.
And I suppose that really goes a long way in building cross-training employees. Could you give us a definition of cross-training employees? And also, in terms of company cultural aspects, how that can see higher productivity, how that is so important in a company?
So the key thing in culture is you're working on communication and getting everybody to share the same values. And part of the cross-training, we built our company almost exclusively on squeezing the handoffs. So everyone is handing something off to somebody else or they're receiving a handoff. And we found that there's 30% cost and schedule wasted in most companies in those handoffs. So we worked hard on the communication, and we'd get people to cross-train to where if they were handing off to someone, we'd have them go work in that job for a month or two to where they understood what was important to that person. Then when they came back, now when they had a handoff, it was going to be exactly the way that person could use it. It wouldn't recycle back and forth, take an extra 2 weeks to get the project done. You'd get it right the first time, which increases your productivity, increases your throughput, is really good for your clients. But getting it right the first time takes that cross-training and the focus on those handoffs.
Yeah, we often forget how time wastage is one of the most biggest pain points in terms of running an operation. Bill, let's talk a little bit about businesses staying lean in good times. I mean, what do you mean by staying lean, and how can this be achieved?
Well, one example, we would work for oil companies, and in a downturn, they would stop all of the airplane travel, and boom, $20 million would go to the bottom line. And then in that next upturn, within 3 months, all of that airplane travel was back. Next downturn, they're cutting the same thing. Whereas if they could have maintained that in the upturn, they would have kept their bottom line better. They would have worked other ways to communicate. But it's how do you stay lean? It's like, don't get fat and happy. Don't hire three people when you only need two people to do a job just to make it easier. Stay lean, challenge people to do multiple jobs, and you'll be much better for the next downturn, because there'll always be another downturn coming for you.
That also
is winning the hearts and minds of the people. And so we did things like sending a newsletter to the house. We would get the families involved to where they knew what was going on in the company. So work those communications and suck everybody in tighter.
Well, so you're saying that, you know, apart from working on the adaptability of your employee, you want your employee's spouses to know that they are in good hands, and that goes a long way. And I don't know, I guess you're more open to allowing your spouse to work overtime, or you're more open to allowing your spouse to commit to the job a little bit more. That kind of psychological aspect, Bill?
Exactly. And so, like, I would have a spouse come up to me at the Christmas party and say, hey, since my husband came to Mustang, they get up in the morning and they're gung-ho, they've got energy to go to work. When they come home, they've still got energy because they were productive. And so they're engaging more with the kids, they're engaging more with me, they're talking about going to church on Sunday. So whatever you're doing at Mustang, please keep doing it. You're changing our family. And like you said, now that family is way supportive when you need to work that person overtime or work on a Saturday. They know that this is the best job and the best company they've ever been in. So they have that support instead of being beat up at the home because they're working too many hours.
That is an amazing story, Bill. But, I mean, you know, as a retired CEO of Mustang Engineering, I am curious to get your thoughts and advice, if you have, for any of the companies out there that are trying to deal with the current landscape. But also, we are in this work-from-home situation. It's entirely different. I mean, you can't do things like read body language, or as much as you need to be more psychologist than boss now. I mean, what would your advice be to companies who have to deal with all of this, who have to continuously manage this challenge?
But I think right now there's more communication than there's ever been. And so leaders know the family situation, you know the kids, they know if the kids are going to school, they know more of what's happening. And so there's a lot more empathy, I think, back and forth. And I think what the leaders need to do, everybody just wants to know, hey, how are we going to get out of this? And so as leaders, the leaders need to be very positive and start showing things that people can do that'll work the communication. Or like I've suggested to some people, if you have a standardized sales process, and there's a number of them out there, it will mint you money because you'll chase the right things. Well, now's a good time to start implementing a sales process and training the people. And they'll go, oh, I'm doing something positive. I know this is going to help us get out of the downturn. And so you start spiraling people's attitude up. And as a leader, if you can just get them back to neutral instead of being, you know, downtrodden, you're winning. And then as soon as anything starts to click, they'll be spiraling up and you'll be ahead of your competitors.
That's really good advice. I've been speaking with Bill Higgs, former CEO of Mustang Engineering, culture expert and author of Forbes Books. Bill, appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.